Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chav Gimel in Shabbos. We are on Chav Beis, Amud Aleph. Respect for a mitzvah. That's been the topic of discussion over the course of yesterday. It continues to be the topic of discussion for today. What is the source for it? How do we know that you have to have respect for a mitzvah? Meaning, let's try to be clear about this. For Kedusha, Dover Kedusha, obviously you have to have respect for it. So for a Sefer Torah, which Baruch Hashem we have in this room. So for that, it's self-evident, it's fill-in. So that's a Dover Kedusha B'Kedusha. That's something that you obviously have to have respect for. But we're talking now about Dvar Mitzvah, like just a mitzvah. Now, we're not flippant about mitzvahs, obviously. We understand the significance of a mitzvah. But the object used for a mitzvah, when all said and done, it's just a vehicle. Meaning, the object itself doesn't have a Kedusha. Just to throw an example out, we're going to learn together in the Gemara Megillah shortly enough, that after you're done with the mitzvah, you can throw it away. Right? In other words, I know there'd be some wonderful minhagim about the Dvar Mitzvah.
Any Dvar Mitzvah.
Right. Well, we have a nice minhagim about we hold the lulav until Pesach, or the Aravos, or the... And everyone holds everything. But we hoard things. But the truth of the matter is, and the honest truth is that you could throw it away. You have to wrap it up, and you have to be somewhat respectful about the way, but you could discard it, meaning it's a mitzvah, and then once the mitzvah's over, so in other words, it could be done with it. There's no inherent kedusha in the Dvar Mitzvah. So, good. So, but what we're learning over the course of our Gemara and our Sugya is that nevertheless, there's a certain amount of respect that you should have vis-a-vis the Dvar Mitzvah. How do I know that? Or not just the Dvar Mitzvah, but even just the way you do the mitzvah. So, for example, the Gemara says, by Kisur Adam. Right? Kisur Adam is where you throw dirt on top of blood. Okay? It's a mitzvah. Mitzvah in the Torah. So, where is it? Achrimos? So the Gemara says that what you should not do is you shouldn't kick the dirt over the blood. I mean, that's not a respectful way to do it. The way to do it is actually bend down, pick up dirt, and put it over on top of the blood. Okay. And the Gemara gave other examples as well. And why are we discussing it now? Meaning, what's the lead into the discussion? So we're talking about Ner Chanukah. Meaning the topic of discussion has been and will continue to be for today and tomorrow, Ner Chanukah. And Ner Chanukah, the Gemara says, is that what you shouldn't do is when you light the menorah, don't do it b'derech habizayon, don't do it in a disrespectful way. But you should do it in a way which is honorific. And on top of that, the Gemara says, we finished with this yesterday, is that when you have the menorah lit, so don't start counting money by the menorah, meaning that's also not respectful. That's not a respectful way to behave towards the Ner Chanukah. Okay.
Rabbi, what about what it says in Aneros Halalo that
Osir was dominant? No, in other words, right, I mentioned this yesterday. It's a very good question. Gemara on Chaf Aleph says that you're not allowed to get Hana from them at all. And then the Gemara over here says that you're not allowed to count your money. So isn't this already included? Yeah, it's okay. I raised this point yesterday. Good. I still don't have an answer, but it's a good question. Itmar Chav Beis Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Rav Amarim Malikim and Ner Laner. Three debates between Rav and Shmuel, and they're not. They're put together. They don't all center around the same point of contention, but nevertheless, they're here. So number one, can you light from one Ner to another Ner? Meaning, on Chanukah, especially after the first night of Chanukah, especially if you're going to do Mahadran and Mahadran, which means that you have more than one wick to light. So can I light from one wick to the next wick? Now, Rav says, no, you can't. Now, wait a moment, because we're going to explain this position better. Shmuel Amar Malikin, and Shmuel says, it's not a problem, it's fine. Rav Amar in Matir and Tzitzis Mibeg Elabeg, and can I transfer Tzitzis from one garment to another garment? So Rav says, no, you can't. Shmuel Amar Matir Mibeg Elabeg, and Shmuel says, it's fine. Now, Rav Amar in Halacha, Kareb Shimon Megreira, Shmuel Amar Halacha, Kareb Shimon Megreira. And then the third machlokus between Rav and Shmuel is about dragging a bench over the ground on Shabbos. We know, we haven't talked about this yet in the Masechta, but I guess this is now the first time we're talking about it. Davashena Miskavein. Meaning when I'm dragging a bench, my intent is to get the bench from point A to point B. Maybe, perhaps, I may make a groove in the ground. Now, if I know for sure I'm going to make a groove in the ground, that's a psik reisha, and then that's usur. You're not allowed to do that. But if I maybe, perhaps, I'm going to make a groove in the ground, but that's not my intent. So this is what's called a davishen miskaven on Shabbos. It's a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, patar aval usur, you're not allowed to do it. It's prohibited. Albeit midrabanan. And Rabbi Shimon says, mutar legamre, it is totally permissible. And how do we follow? What's the halacha? So this is a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and the halach, well, we're going to learn later on in the Masecht, but I'll say it now, the halacha falls like Shmuel, i.e. the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, i.e. it's mutar legamre. If it's davishen miskaven, so it's mutar legamre. Amar Abaye, komila damar Rabbi Kerav, my Rebbe, Abaye is describing his Rebbe is Rabba. So my Rebbe, Rabba, who does he follow like? Always like Rav. But when I say always, I qualify. Labar mehani tlas, except for three halachas where he doesn't, where my Rebbe Rabba doesn't follow like Rav, but rather follows like Shmuel. Davikishmuel malik menir lanir matir mebegalabegar v'alach grav shemay megreira. On these three issues that we just presented, so my Rebbe says Abaye Rabba. Abaye is a couple generations after Rav. His Rebbe is even fewer generations after Rav. So my Rebbe Rabba follows like. Like Shmuel, the Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer Gorad the Mita Kitzef Itzavso Vavashal is Kavan Lasos Chritz, and then the Gemara quotes the Braisa, which says that you're allowed to drag a bench over the ground in Shabbos as long as your intent is not to make a groove in the ground. And oh, by the way, it can't be inevitable that you will make a groove in the ground. Yasev Omer Rabban Kamei Derav Adar Barav Yasev Kamer Time Derav Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. Now we go back to the first machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. You're not allowed to light from one candle to the next candle. Why not? Now that's, again, let's keep this in mind. First of all, it's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. We are now going to explore the opinion of Rav, but just to keep in mind, we don't paskin like Rav, meaning we go like Shmuel. But in the meantime, however, let's just at least understand Rav. Why does Rav say that you can't light from one wick to another wick for the Chanukah Ner? So the explanation given is for Rav is because of Bizui Mitzvah. And now you understand why it's connected to the previous sugya, because the previous sugya, we were talking about how to make sure not to disregard and degrade Mitzvah, so this is an obvious segue.
Directly or indirectly?
Okay, hold it. That's the right question. So just give it a moment. So the Gemara's first explanation of Rav is Bizui Mitzvah. Amar lo lo tetzitzulei. Don't listen to him. He's not right. Time to Rav Mishum to Kamachish Mitzvah. It's not Bizui Mitzvah, it's Hachashas Mitzvah. Now, let's go over both of these positions. Bizui Mitzvah. What's the Bizui Mitzvah? Presumably, the Bizui Mitzvah is, here I have, I just lit my Chanukah menorah. I just lit my light. Now, what I just did is a mitzvah. Now I'm going to take that item, which is a mitzvah, and now use it to light another one? It's just not appropriate. Meaning, that's Bizui Mitzvah. What's the other explanation of Rav? Machish mitzvah. You're diminishing from the mitzvah. Now we're talking about fire, and so this gets a little bit interesting in the sense that, well, when I'm transferring from one fire to another, I'm diminishing from this fire. Well, yeah, correct. Correct. It's not a permanent situation. It's not a permanent hachasha, right? For the first moment that I'm transferring the fire from one to the other, I am diminishing from the original fire, but let's be honest, it'll come back. So, but still, in other words, the second explanation is because you're being machish mitzvah. So my So the Gemara says, now would there be a nafkamina between these two? Let's say I transfer the fire, but with no intermediary. I did a direct transfer. If the issue is Bizui Mitzvah, well, interestingly enough, says the Gemara, well, that's okay. So, because both of them are mitzvos. Meaning, I am not, right, if this would be my shamish. In other words, to take fire from here and to transfer it over to here, that's a Bizui. Because when I live my shamish, what's my shamish? It's nothing. It's an intermediary. So therefore, I'm just kind of using the mitzvah for this. But if I'm directly lighting from one mitzvah to another, that's not such a Bizui. However, but if the correct explanation of Rav is because of Hachashas HaMitzvah, because I'm diminishing from the flame, so once I transfer from this to this, it doesn't matter. If it was a direct transfer, if it was an indirect transfer, for a moment I'm diminishing from the original flame, and that's what Rav is opposed to.
About okay. The level, the second one. Talk about that. The level, the second one is less of a mitzvah than the first, isn't it? Because it's only a hiddur. It's only a hiddur.
Because, well, I don't understand. Why is the second?
Only the first one is a mitzvah. The first one, the second one we said before is a hiddur mitzvah.
No? Wait, if you're doing it with an intermediary?
If you say that the pasha de mitzvah is to have one
life.
You've already done the pasha de mitzvah.
Okay, fine. So it's not. Okay. Now I hear you. Now I understand what you're saying. I don't know. Mesa Rabbi Avya. Okay, so now. So we have a halacha of Rav, which in this particular regard we don't follow. That's not the accepted halacha. But we have a halacha of Rav, which is that I'm not allowed to transfer from one flame to another on the Hanukkah. And there are two explanations given. One is because it is bizui mitzvah, just not appropriate for me to take a non-mitzvah item, light a non-mitzvah item from a mitzvah item, just bizui. Or the other explanation is hachashas mitzvah. Hachashas mitzvah is that when I do the transfer, at the moment of transfer, I am going to diminish for a second, but still, I'm going to diminish from the original fire, and that's being machish mitzvah. That's diminishing from a mitzvah, and that's why Rav is against it. Good. We're going to quote a Mishnah together. We're going to learn a Mishnah together. It's the Tosefta, to be even more technical. Out of Meister Sheni, and it's going to, at first you're going to look at it, you're not going to really see the connection between this Mishnah we're about to learn and the discussion we're having, and hopefully what I'll be able to successfully do is make the connection. I mean, Rashi does it also, but in other words, it won't be apparent. The Mishnah reads like this, Sela Shel Meister Sheni. We're on the top of Chav Beis Amid Beis. I have a Meister Sheni coin. Now, Meister Sheni coin, what does that mean? It means that I was Mafresh Trumas and Maestros on years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle. So the second 10% is Meister Sheni. What I can do is that Kedusha is transferable. Now, what I should do is I should take that food, take it up to Yerushalayim, and eat the food up in Yerushalayim. However, understand that that's not so practical. So what the Torah allows you to do is transfer the Kedusha of the Meister Sheni onto a coin. Now the coin has the Kedusha of the Meister Sheni. And then, at your convenience, you take the coin up to Yerushalayim, you purchase with it food, and you eat it in Yerushalayim. Good. I have Meister Sheni coins. So Meister Sheni coins have Kedusha. They are a Dvar Mitzvah. And now I want to use them as a counterbalance. A counterbalance. Back in the good old days, how would their scales work? Their scales would work with two plates, and they were placed on a balance stand. So you weighed one thing against another thing. So my Meister Sheni coin, I know exactly how much it weighs. I already weighed it. I already know its metal content, its value. Meister Sheni, a Shoklin Kenegdo Dinare Zahav. I can use my Meister Sheni coins as a counterbalance against other coins, meaning these other coins, I don't know how much they weigh. I now need to determine how much they weigh. Okay, fine, I'll put these coins on one side of the scale. I'll put my Meister Sheni coins on the other side of the scale, and I'll get it. Because I know how much my Meister Sheni coins weigh. I already weighed them. The Mishnah in Meister Sheni says, do not do that. Don't do that. Dinar Zav, I feel a chalav Meister Sheni. Acher. And even if you plan on taking these coins that you're weighing and using them to be mechalal other Meister Sheni on it, so your intent is to make it a mitzvah, it's still not okay. Now, now, this machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. If it's going directly from Ner to Ner, but if I'm using an intermediary, Aser Shmuel, so then Shmuel says that it's Aser, so Haleha to have it to Yufta. So then, you know, this Mishnah Meister Sheni, it works out perfectly. Eli Amar, give me a moment, I'll explain. Eli Amar Bekinsa, Nami Share, so Hati Avet Yufta. So, look, according to Shmuel is obviously on the side of leniency. Shmuel says you could do it. But what does that mean you could do it? Meaning, when Shmuel gives a heter and says they can lie from one to another, does that mean directly? Or does that mean even indirectly? So, if the way you understand Shmuel is, either way, it's fine. Meaning, Shmuel says that you're allowed to be lighting from one to another under any circumstance. whether with an intermarry, whether without an intermarry. So you see that according to Shmuel, that he doesn't worry at all about neither the bizayin of a mitzvah or the hachashas a mitzvah. If that's true according to Shmuel, so what's the problem? So then how do you understand the Mishnah Maaser Sheni? I'm taking a dvar mitzvah and I'm using it as a counterbalance against something else. And so, for Shmuel's standpoint, should be okay, according to Shmuel. According to Rav, we understand. Bizui mitzvah, hachashas mitzvah. But according to Shmuel, it should be okay. And meanwhile, the Mishnah Maaser Sheni says it's not okay. And you can't say that, well, Shmuel disagrees with the Mishnah Maaser Sheni. That can't be. So the Gemara says, "Ela iyamar b'kinsan amishara hatiavet yufta." Amar Rabba gzereshem lo yichavim mashkalosav v'kamapik lehu lechulin. So the Gemara says no, because look, Shmuel says that I'm lighting from one light to another light. The first one's a mitzvah, the second one's a mitzvah. So in other words, in general, of course, Shmuel agrees to this idea of bizayon mitzvah. I can't use a mitzvah item just for my own personal use, but to use it for another mitzvah, that's okay. Here, I'm using Maaser Sheni coins to perhaps make other Maaser Sheni coins. But I'll tell you what the problem is. We're worried that when he weighs the two coins one against the other, turns out that they're not equal, and it turns out these coins are just simply not going to be able to be used for redemption of Maaser Sheni. And so ultimately what may happen is that I'm using a mitzvah for something which is not a mitzvah. That even Shmuel agrees is unacceptable. To use a mitzvah for a mitzvah, that's fine. To use a mitzvah for a non-mitzvah, even Shmuel would say that you can't do. Now, we are going to go to the granddaddy of them all, which is the menorah. Meaning, look, we have a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel over here, whether or not I can light from one light to another light on my Chanukiah. Good. That's my little menorah at home, which we light now to commemorate the big menorah. So let's actually go back to the big menorah in the base of Mikdash. And let's see, how do you think they lit from one light to another light in the menorah? So the Gemara quotes a brisa. The brisa says, Michutza parocha sayedus yaroch. V'chila ora hutzarech. Now, why do we light in the base of Mikdash? Now, we can even go back one step further. Why do we light in the Mishkan? Okay, same question. Just I'm moving the question back to when we were out in the desert. We had light in the desert. It's called HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a fire walking in front of us throughout the entire night. So illumination wasn't our issue. We had, I would say, natural lighting, not natural lighting, but. We had light.
Provided.
Right, light provided. Ela eidusi labayolam sheashkina shar b'Yisrael. So, but what rather, the purpose of the menorah is to testify for the world that the Shekhinah is with us. Why the clouds aren't enough, I don't know. Why the fire isn't enough, I don't know. But in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and that is testified through the menorah. And how? My eidus, I'm a Rav, zener ma'aravi. So Rav explains it's the western lamp of the menorah. Now the menorah is made up of seven branches. Now Rashi quotes over here the Gemara Menachos has a debate how exactly the menorah was situated in the Mishkan, and subsequently the same debate is in the Beis Hamikdash. Did it go north? Did it go north south? Where's my Mishkan picture? Okay, we're going to have to transfer it. So is it north-south or is it east-west? It's a machlokas in the Gemara. Now, if you hold it's east-west, so near Ma'aravi, so that western candle, so that we understand. The western lamp, we understand. By the way, the western lamp doesn't actually mean the western lamp. It means second from the east. Okay, that's a little bit confusing, I realize, but okay. But in other words, but at least you understand how the Torah can describe the Ner Ma'aravi. If, however, the menorah went north-south, so what does that mean, the most western lamp? So the Gemara Menachos tells us, Rashi over here quotes it, it means we're talking about the middle lamp. It's called western because in the bowl, in the cup, on the top of the menorah, it is the wick itself is facing west. Okay, anyway, either way, the point is, Shnosim Bashem and Kemitas Chavrusaha, meaning that this cup, whichever one it is, the Western one, received the same amount of oil as all the other cups. Umi Menu Hayamadlik, Uva Hayam Misayim. That's a tricky line of the Braisa. Uvahaya Misayim, Rashi and Tosfos argue exactly what it means. For the sake of simplicity, we're just simply going to say it lasted through the night, it lasted all day, and so that by the next day, when it came time to light, you could light from this western lamp. So now, basically, the point we're making is as follows. Every day in the Mishkan, not just Hanukkah, every day in the Mishkan, how would I light the menorah? I would light it from the one lamp that remained lit, not only over through the night, but over the course of the next day as well. Good. Now, the menorah is a big structure, and it's a stationary structure.
Right.
So how did I get lit from one lamp to the other?
They're
wicks. Obviously, I used some sort of intermediary, meaning I had some shamish that allowed me to light from one to the other. Good. So, the eluki kasha. And this is going to be difficult for Rav, because what did Rav say? You can't. Now, when Rav says he can't, remember we had two explanations of Rav. One because of a bizui mitzvah, which means just not appropriate. Not appropriate to light the shamish, because then I'm using a mitzvah for a non-mitzvah item. And hachashas mitzvah, the diminishment of the fire, that for sure. Because the moment I do the transfer, there's going to be diminishment. So, it's just such a simple question. According to Rav, how did you light the menorah? That's essentially what the question is. So, Tirgum Rav Papa Bipsilos Aruchos. So, Rav Papa gives an explanation that the wicks were very long, so that what we did is we lit directly from one lamp to the other in the menorah. The Gemara says that only solves one of our explanations of Rav. So, sof, l'man d'amim mishum achushe mitzvah kashya. But the Gemara says, but if the explanation of Rav is the diminishment of light, of fire, so even if it's a direct transfer, at the moment of transfer, there's a diminishment of light. That's going to be difficult. And the Gemara ends the whole discussion rather awkwardly. Kashya. Yeah, that's difficult. You're right, that's difficult. I don't know what to say. So in other words, it's amazing. It really is. Meaning when all said and done, the question for Rav is, how did they light the menorah?
Maybe a long wick is diminished much less than a short one.
Okay, right. Right. We all know, by the way, there's an answer to the question. The Gemara didn't provide it. Right? That's, in other words, the Gemara is only the beginning of learning. Right? It's just a starting point, no meaning. So now what you got to do, every time the Gemara says the word kasha and ends the discussion with a kasha, is you got to come up with some sort of answer. Not that I have one prepared for today, but in other words, but that's our job. Our job is to try to...
Kasha means that you can figure the answer.
Yeah, generally speaking, Rashi says, when the Gemara ends the discussion with the words tiyufta, so that's it. Meaning the discussion's over and this position's been refuted. But if the Gemara ends with the words kasha, it means it's not so bad. Teku means right. Right. Unresolved debate. So my havi Allah. Now the Gemara says, now let's get down to the what is the halacha? Meaning, now it's a funny question the Gemara is asking right now, my havi Allah, meaning we have a debate between Rav and Shmuel, we want to know who do we follow like. Now Tosus makes this point, it's not me talking right now, I'm just reiterating what Tosus says right over here. It seems like we know what the halacha is. Meaning, we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. We normally follow like Rav. But Abai told us that his Rebbe, Rabba, paskins like Shmuel on these three issues. So, and that's how we started the whole discussion. So it's a little bit strange that the Gemara says, now what's the halacha? Okay, but we continue with the Gemara Mahavi Allah. I'm Ravuna Breder of Yeshua Chazina Yad Lakose Mitzvah Malikim Nir Lanir. The Anachose Mitzvah Iman Likim Nir Lanir. So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is we're going to tie this machlokus to another machlokus. Okay? Just to make it a little more complicated, but just a little bit. The Gemara is about to introduce us now to a classic debate about the mitzvah of Nir Chanukah. Is it the halakha which is the mitzvah, or is the hanakha which is the mitzvah? Which basically means as follows. Look, what is the mitzvah of lighting Ner Chanukah? Okay, we're only a month away, right?
More.
Okay. A month and a
week.
Okay, 6-7 weeks away. Look, the question basically is as follows. If I light the menorah, is it the actual lighting that's the mitzvah, which is what the Gemara refers to as halakos the mitzvah, or is it the placement of the menorah? Now, what's the difference? So, let's say over a couple of basic nafkaminas. If the lighting of it is the mitzvah, so that means that when I lit it, it needs to have already been positioned in the right place. Meaning if I lit it, right, and then pick it up and move it to wherever I need to move it, you didn't do the mitzvah correctly. Because lighting means that's it.
Right.
Everything.
The candles aren't straight. You can light them and then you can straighten them out.
Right, that's it. You have now done the mitzvah. But if you lit in the wrong place and now you have to move it to the right place, so that's no good. Meaning, so you didn't do the mitzvah correctly. If the hanacha is the mitzvah, so that means then that the candles are lit, but you haven't done the mitzvah yet. The mitzvah is placement of it. Presumably, and the Gemara is going to kind of say this later on, is that if the, let's say the candles are already lit for whatever reason, and you maintain the position of hanachos and mitzvah, that means that now you have to extinguish the candles, pick it up, light it, and put it down again. Okay, so in other words, there's a basic question of what is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Lighting or placement? Now this is a little bit tricky. This requires thought. I mean, it all does, but I'm saying this really requires thought. The Gemara now is connecting the question of whether or not you're allowed to be Malik Miner Laner to the question of what is the mitzvah? Is the halakha the mitzvah or the hanacha the mitzvah? And here, this part you don't need to think through because the Gemara kind of spells it out, but you got to somehow connect. I'm going to read the Gemara again. E hadlaka, right? Amar of Hunabre de Rav Yeshua Chazina. Let's see. E hadlaka ose mitzvah. If the hadlaka is the mitzvah, manlike miner laner. So funny. You could have argued it the other way. If the hadlaka is the mitzvah, so then you are allowed to light from one to the other.
According to one mitzvah to another, it's fine. You do a mitzvah.
You're doing mitzvah.
There's no bizuyan. Except there's still...
You're not diminishing.
But yeah.
Well,
diminishing, but there's no bizuyan.
Is that even according to
diminishing.
Is this according to Rav?
Yeah.
No, in other words, the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel will be contingent on this machlokas.
Oh.
So that means that Shmuel, who says that you're allowed to, is going to take the position that halakha is the mitzvah. And Rav, who says you're not allowed to, will take the position that the hanacha is a mitzvah. So perhaps we could suggest like this, and maybe, okay, I'm just, in other words, again, I told you, this is like the thinking part of today's daf. So maybe it goes like this. If the hadlaka is the mitzvah, so that means when I lit my candle, I'm done.
What does it say for menorah? What does Hashem say in the menorah? The menorah is to add late. Right? Prepare and to
well, okay, let's just work out this connection. If the lighting is the mitzvah, so that means when I lit the first candle, I've done the mitzvah. You know what it's like saying? It's like mitzvah over. And so then what I would then be able to do then is light from one to the next. Because it's not a bizayon mitzvah. The mitzvah's done. And so now what I'm doing is I'm now moving to the next mitzvah.
Right.
From a mitzvah which is already completed. If the hanacha is the mitzvah, so when I lit my first candle, I haven't finished the mitzvah. I'm still in the middle of the mitzvah, and now it's degrading to take a candle which I'm in the middle of the mitzvah and to use it to light another candle. So that's that you can't do.
Right, until it burns out, the mitzvah's still going on because it's hanacha.
Until I place it down.
Oh, until you place it down.
Right.
But what if it's placed down already?
So again, so it just...
And you lift it up, then...
No, so please think about it, meaning, okay, I'm trying to give some sort of understanding to the Gemara over here, how the two are connected. The Gemara clearly makes a connection. Now the Gemara says, then let's take a look. If you are holding the Ner Chanukah, and then... and you light it. Meaning, awkwardly enough, you never put it down. You kind of hold it the whole time. So, lo asav lo klum, that's nothing. Shema mina, anachos mitzvah. So what do you see? Why didn't you fulfill the mitzvah? Because you never put it down. Oh, it must be the hanach is a mitzvah. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Look, when people are watching you, so first of all, they're going to think you're a little strange. But also what they're going to think is, oh, he must need light. Right? In other words, he lit a candle, he held it the whole time. Oh, that's not a mitzvah. It must be that he just simply needed light. If you lit the menorah inside your house and then you take it outside, you haven't done anything. So the Gemara says that if the halakha is a mitzvah, so that means that you have to light it in the right place. But if you say that the hanach is a mitzvah, my law, the Gemara says, so what's the problem? I live inside the house, but if the placement is the mitzvah, I'm doing good. I then walk it outside and I place it down outside. So, again, the problem is the problem of it won't be perceived correctly, meaning people will not understand that I'm lighting it for the purpose of mitzvah. They think that, oh, he must have lit it simply because he needed the illumination. Tashma, Dam Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Let's say you had a lantern. Ashashis means glass lantern. In fact, Rashi uses the word lantern. And it was lit already the whole day. And then nighttime comes around. So, Lamotzei Shabbos mechabe umadlika. So, on Motzei Shabbos, you put it out and you relight it for your Chanukah licht. Now, if the halak is a mitzvah, you did good. You extinguish it and then you relit it. Eli Amart Hanachos the mitzvah, but if the Iker HaMitzvah is not the lighting but the placement, Hai Mechabe Umadlika, Mechabe Umagbia Umeinicha Umadlika, Mi Bayele. What you should do is not just extinguish it and relight it, extinguish it, pick it up, light it, put it down. Va'od, and furthermore, Midikam Avarchin Hashem Kishem Mitzvah, Sivan Lahadlik Nereshah Chanukah. And let's take a look at the Nusach HaBracha. What is the Nusach HaBracha? It's the Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. So what is the Bracha telling us? The mitzvah is Hadlaka. Shema Minah, Hadlaka Ose Mitzvah, Shema Minah. So the Hadlaka is the mitzvah. V'hashad Aminah, Hadlaka Ose Mitzvah. So now that we say that the Hadlaka is the mitzvah, so before I make the next point of the Gemara, let's now go back to what we said earlier. Now that we've established that the Hadlaka is the mitzvah, so now on the issue of can you be madlik from near to near, the answer will be? Sorry, I don't mean to put everyone on the spot. Yes. Yes, you can be madlik miner l'ner. Because the Gemara connected the two debates. If we conclude, which we just have, that the halak is the mitzvah, we also now are going to conclude that you can light from one to the other, like the position of Shmuel. And then the Gemara makes another point, which is that now that we say that the halak is the mitzvah, let's say you prepared everything, but you didn't light. Let's say someone who's not obligated actually lights. Someone who's not obligated would be Chereshot V'Katan, deaf mute, someone who's deranged, someone who's a minor. So you've not fulfilled the mitzvah. Isha, what about a woman? Vada Madlika. What do you mean? She lights. She's obligated to light. Dam Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Nashim Chayavos, B'ner Chanukah Shaf, Hayu, Ashaf, Ein, Hayu, Ba'oso, Anes. They're also part of the miracle, so therefore they light Chanukah menorah. And if they were to light, they have fulfilled the mitzvah.
When you say Hanukkah is a mitzvah, it has to be Hanukkah when it's lit, isn't it?
Right, meaning it has to be lit, and then after it's lit. And
why does the Gemara say here, before it's a mechaber, magbia, lefer Shabbos, mechaber, magbia, manicha, umadlika? So let's say, madlika, manicha.
Mechaber, umadlika. I'm sorry, mechaber, magbia, umenicha, umadlika.
Say the other way around.
It's a good question.
No, because Hanukkah. Hanukkah has to, you can't just put the menorah down. That's not a myth. That doesn't do anything. It has to be lit.
Yeah, but you have to light it after it's placed.
Tosos asks, well, not your question, but a related question. If the Hanukkah is a mitzvah, so just pick it up and put it down.
Right. Yeah, that's
it's a corollary to your question.
Okay.
I didn't know Phil's question had a corollary.
Now the so of course they do. Tosa suggests it's a question of intent because maybe your original intent when you lit it was not for Chanukah, it was for Shabbos, but it doesn't answer your question though. Okay. Let me think about it. I'm Rav Shesh Asach Sanai Chaya B'Ner Chanukah. Let's say you're a guest at someone else's house.
That's not a good question because then what it means you would have to light it what? You light it here and then put it here. You don't hold it, or you hold it in your hand.
I'm Rav Shesh Asach Sanai Chaya B'Ner Chanukah. You're a guest at someone else's house. So light your. So you're chayiv, you're obligated near Chanukah. So now, what does that mean? So it couldn't. Well, let's see the Gemara. I'm Rav Zera Meishki Avina Bei Rav. So when I used to stay in yeshiva, Rabbi Zera described when I was a young man. So mishtatfana beprita. So in other words, so I lived in someone else's house, and so what I would do is I would be mishtatef, meaning I contribute to the near Chanukah. I wouldn't light my own near Chanukah. I know we tend when we travel on Chanukah we tend to always carry with ourselves our own Chanukah, but I wouldn't in other words I wouldn't light my own Chanukah. I just simply contribute by adding money so that I would be part and partners of the of my host's menorah, Bahadi Shpiza, Basa Dinestiva. But then I got married. And didn't stop me from going off to yeshiva. I still went off to yeshiva even after I got married. But then Isisa, Sabasta and Steve Isisa, I married a woman. Amina, I said the following. Ha shavade lo tzarchina. Now I'm good. I don't even have to add money, contribute money to my host's menorah. To come and leak alai begal beisa, because my wife would light for me. Meaning, I'm obligated, my wife is obligated. So I would have my wife light for me. And that's how I would fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. For a halachic discussion, but and look it up. It's a very halach lamaisa. But in other words, you have to tell her that she's lighting for you. Meaning you have to appoint her as a shliach. Okay, I'm Rav Shulman Levi. Kol Hashmanim Kulam Yafal Aner V'Shemen Zayit Min HaMuvchar. Now, what oil do you use for your menorah for your Chanukiah? So the Gemara says literally any oil you want, but olive oil is the best. Yeah, so that remember that was how we got into the whole discussion to begin with. The debate was the oils for Shabbos, which are disqualified for Shabbos. So can I use them over here? Remember that's how we got into the discussion. That was the debate all the way on Chaf Aleph. So sounds like from here that yes. So Kol Hashmanim Kulam Yafal Aner V'Shemen Zayit Min HaMuvchar. Olive oil is the best. Amar Abaye Mereisha V'Mahadar Amar Amashcha D'Shum Shemei. You know, I used to light early my earlier years with sesame seed oil. Amar Haymashach Nur Tfei. My argument was it lights really well, but then came into Shama Lahadar of Yeshua Ben Levi Mahadar Amashcha D'Zeisa. So Amar Haytzala Nur Tfei. But then I heard the statement of Yeshua Ben Levi, and I only lit with olive oil. It may not last the longest, but it's clear. Now, we're back to ink talk. Now, I'm so ignorant when it comes to ink talk, meaning I don't know how ink is made. I don't understand the compound of ink. Apparently, oil is added to ink. Your son's in the business, I know. Was in the business. So, and you add oil as part of the compound to make ink. So what oil do you use? So again, Kol Hashmanim Yafal L'Dio, all oil is really good. V'Shemen Zayit Min HaMuvchar, but olive oil, of course, is the best. Of course. Yeah. Ibailahu L'Gabel L'Ashe. Now, are we talking about kneading the compound together with olive oil? Are we talking about smoking the compound? Now, I'm not sure how you infuse olive oil via smoke into the compound of ink. Again, I get to show off my ignorance. Okay, you'll forgive me, but the Tashma, the Ni Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, Kol Shmanim Yafim L'Diyov, V'Shemen Zayit Min HaMuvchar, Bein L'Gabel, Bein La'Ashen. Well, the Gemara says it doesn't really matter. Both in Gibel, and in the kneading of the compound of ink, or in the smoking of the ink. So, both occasions, olive oil is the best. Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, Masni Hachi, Kol Hashanim Yafim L'Diyov, V'Shemen Zayit Min HaMuvchar, it is the best. Am Rav Huna, Kol Hasrafim Yafim L'Diyov. Now, what about the sraf? Okay? I don't know what that, I mean, sraf, generally speaking, is some sort of sap that comes out of a tree. Here, what are we talking about? I don't know. It just, in other words, it's some added additional ingredient to the compound of the ink. So you could use any sraf you want. V'sraf ketaf yafa mikulam. But the sraf that comes out of ketaf, oh, that's the best of them all. Okay. Amar Rebbe Chia Barashi Amar Rav Amalek Ner Shachanuk Atzorach Levarech.
It makes it sticky.
I'll take your word. I'll trust you. when you light Ner Chanukah, so you have to make a bracha. It's a mitzvah. Of course. So, Rav Yirmi Amar Aron Ner Shochana Katzol Chavarch. Now, if you see the Ner Chanukah, you have to make a bracha. I'm Rav Yehuda Yom Rishon Aron Mevarch Beis Umalik Mevarch Yimel. Now, in the first night, so if you're just seeing Ner Chanukah for whatever reason, you're not lighting, so you have an opportunity to make two brachas. The one who lights, he has an opportunity to make three brachas. Now, after the first night, everyone drops off a bracha. If you haven't figured it out already, the bracha that we're talking about that drops off after the first night is Shechianu. So, my memayit memayit zman. Gemara says exactly that. Vin imot neis. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we diminish the bracha of Neis? Because no, the Gemara says, no, Neis kol yuma isa. What are you talking about? Every day in the Beis HaMikdash, when the miracle actually occurred, every day was a Neis. Because it wasn't supposed to last till the second day, till the third day, till the fourth day. So every day became a Yom Neis. So my Mevarech, now the Gemara, why didn't I explain the brachas yet? Because the Gemara is about to do that. Mevarech, the bracha is, Asher Kishan Mitzav Sivan Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. So the first bracha is Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Okay. The Behechan Sivanu. Now, where's the, in other words, the Nusach HaBracha is a little bit strange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you commanded us. Really? It's not in the Torah. Story didn't take place until 1600 years after the Torah was given, no less, whatever. I'll do the history later. So, a long time after the Torah was given, this mitzvah occurred. The nes occurred. So, what does it mean? Asher Kedishanu. So the Gemara says Milo Sasur. Well, it's rabbinic legislation. And we know that the Chachamim are empowered. They have the right to legislate and to give us mitzvos. And so therefore, by right granted to them in the Torah, based on the Pasuk of Lo Sasur, Parsha Shoftim, so therefore, Asher Kiddushanu, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to listen to the Chachamim. Nechemi Amar Shal Avecha V'Yageicha Zekencha V'Yomru Lach. Okay? Another discussion for another time. Why doesn't he like the pasuk of Lo Sasur? Why does he insist on giving his own pasuk, which really speaks to the same basic idea that the Chachamim are empowered to legislate, and therefore by us lighting the Chanukah licht, the mitzvah that we're fulfilling is listening to the Chachamim. Why another pasuk? What's the Nekudah Machlokes? Another time. Mesav Rav Amram Hadamai Ma'arvin Bo. Now, when it comes to Demai, we know what Demai is? Sure we do. We just discussed it at length in the seventh parak of Brachos. Demai is produce that's purchased from Ama Aretz. Did he take off Shumas HaMaisros? We don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. He's not particularly careful about the way he's performing mitzvos, specifically the mitzvah of Shumas HaMaisros. So, to be cautious, we are instructed to take off Shumas HaMaisros again, but I'm going to be careful the way I say it. It's a precautionary.
It's a suffix.
So ma'arvin bo, right? Ma'arvin bo, I can make an Erev with it. Or mishtatvin bo, you can make shitu of mavoas with it. If you don't understand what I just said, okay, wait, when we get to Erevin, you'll understand. Or mevarchin alav, you make a bracha over it. Or mezamnan alav, if we had a meal with demai, so you make zimun. Or ma'afrishno so arom. Now, when you take off your Trumas HaMaisros again, you could do so even though you are a room. You're not clothed. Strange, the person, why he would be doing that, a room. Okay, but that doesn't, right now.
Sure, you don't make
a buff,
no?
Wait one second. Uben, and also, you could take off Trumas HaMaisros from it, Ben HaShmashos, which we're going to discuss later on in this parak of Shabbos. Now, Iyamar Kol Midrabanan by Bracha, so the Gemara is bothered by the following. Meaning there are a lot of issues to discuss over here, but we're going to focus on one issue, which is, you're not making a bracha. There's no way you can be making a bracha. Meaning if you're being mafish, shumas ha-maitzos off your demai while you're not clothed, you're clearly not going to be making a bracha. And hacha kikai arum hechem avarech v'abin v'ya machanecha kadosh. You know you can't make a bracha while you are not clothed. That is a lack of kedusha. So you're not making a bracha. V'leka. So and here's what bothers the Gemara. When you're mafish shumas ha-maisos from your demai, aren't you fulfilling a mitzvah derabanan? And didn't we just say that for mitzvahs derabanan, you still make a bracha based on the pasuk of Lo Sasur?
I could read the
So Amar Abaye Vade the Divrei by Bracha. Suffic the Divrayim Lo by Bracha. Well, the Gemara says, look, if it's a Vadai Divrayim, if it is an absolute mitzvah de Rabbanan, of course you make a bracha. This is not an absolute. This is a mitzvah because of a suffic. Because we don't know if the Amma Arts took off Trumas and Maitzos, so therefore we take off Demai, I don't make a bracha on a suffic. The Gemara says, is that true? The Hayom Tov Sheni the suffic Divrayim. We move on to one of our favorite topics, Yom Tov Sheni. Ubaye bracha. Now there, we're going to make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni. All day, meaning Kiddush, Hallel, the list goes on and on. We make brachas all day, even though it's a suffix. So Shechianu, all day. Hasam kiech the lo lezalzel abad. But the Gemara says, yeah, but there, it's kind of like we have no choice in the matter, because if we go the second day of Yontif and we don't make brachas, right? You know what's going to happen to the second day of Yontif? It's going to diminish it, right? Because we're only going to confuse people. Well, I don't understand. Is today Yontif or is not today Yontif? Well, if I'm not making brachas today, Okay, so good. So in other words, it's got to be. It's got to be that the brachas were instituted. Rav Amar, Rav Amar, Aretz Maaser, and Rav says, look, I'll tell you what, you don't have to be that lumdish. Truth of the matter is, let's go back to our Demai discussion. When it comes to Demai, it's not that maybe the Amar took off Trumas and Maisos. He probably did. As a Chumra Midrabanan, the rabbis told us that when you purchase Demai, you got to take off Trumas and Maisos. But the statistics, the probability, speaks to the fact that the Amma Aretz probably did take off Trumas and Maisos. So essentially what that means is, of course you're not going to make a bracha. It's not even a suffix. It's less than a suffix. I'm Rav Huna. We go now back to the halachas of Chanukah. Chatzis Yesh Bala Beis Pesachim. Tzricha Shtei Neiros. Let's say I have a nice house. It's large. And it actually has two exits. So you got to light Neir on both of those exits. Because what you don't want is you don't want somebody walking by the front of your house. And let's say you have two fronts. Let's say you actually are situated on a corner, right? And so therefore you have, right? And the mailman doesn't know which street to, you know, that your address to, that you're connected to. So you don't want the person walking by to think, oh no, he's not lighting Chanukah menorah? Wow. So therefore, light on both. Now, oh wait, just wait 1 second. So Sri Krishna, Amarava. Now, that's only talking about the corner house where you actually are. Now, going on, your house is on two different streets. But if it's two exits on the same side, you're fine. Now, the Gemara says, now, obviously, in other words, we're anti-Lashon Hara. Right, you know that. In other words, we don't want to speak ill about anybody. Correct. In other words, we don't want that. But who are we worried about? Meaning, look, if we're talking about people out of town, if we're talking about the out of towners who happen to be passing through town, so for him, truth of the matter is that when he passes one of your entrances to your house, and he sees that it doesn't have a Chanukah menorah, so he's going to say, wow, that's a Jewish house. I see the mezuzah, but where's the menorah? And he may not know that if he just walked a little bit further, he'll find the menorah. So there, if we're worried about out-of-towners, you got to light the menorah even if your two exits are on the same side. And icha shadu de b'nei masa, and the people who are living in your town, so they know you. So afil mishnei ruchos nami lo libaye. So even if your house is facing two different streets, so eventually the people who are living in your community, they'll figure it out. So who are we worried about? So well, the Gemara says, we're worried about the people living in your town. People visiting, don't worry about them. We're worried about the people in your town. And sometimes what's going to happen is that they just simply may not go down the other street. And so they are only going to pass by the one entrance which you didn't light menorah, So therefore, you should light on both of your entrances. And the Gemara says, and you have to really worry about this. Meaning, look, I lit menorah. I got to worry about the people who didn't light menorah. I'm sorry. I got to worry about the people who are passing by the other side of my house. So the Gemara says, that, yes, you do. You know, in the mitzvah of Peah, I got to leave a corner of the field to the poor. And I got to leave it off, not at the beginning of my field, but at the end of my field. End of my field meaning the end of my harvest. Four reasons why. Number one, because of Gezel Aniyim. Number two, because of Bital Aniyim. Number three, because of Chshad. And number four, Mishum Baal Techaleh. Now the Gemara explains each one of these. Mibnei Gezel Aniyim Shalo Yira Balabai Shapanuya V'yamar L'Krovo. Ani harez the peah. Now we're worried about Gezel because look, if you can establish peah whenever you want, at any part of the field you want, so in the middle of your harvesting, in the middle of your harvesting, you're going to quickly text your inside trading. You're going to text your cousin who happens to be poor. I know he's poor and he has a cell phone, but that's fine. So everybody does. And you text him and you say, quickly, come over because I'm about to take off peah. So in other words, there has to be a standard moment where you take off peah so that everyone has the same opportunity to the peah. That's number one. We're going to finish with the peah talk and then we're going to stop for today. Also, we're worried about the ani's time. I know it's such a sensitivity which we really have to develop. Meaning, the ani will wait for me. No. In other words, the ani needs to know exactly when the peah is going to be taken off. There has to be a standard time when you take off peah, so the ani doesn't have to sit there the whole day waiting when's the peah coming out. And three, and also you got to worry about chashad, suspicion. Meaning if you can take off peah whenever you want, so someone's going to be walking by your field and cursing you. Oh my gosh, this guy didn't take off peah. Look, almost his whole field is harvested and he didn't take off peah. So now that the halacha is that you wait till the end, so you're going to be above chashad. No one's going to suspect you. And finally, Mishum Baal Techala, Atukulun La, Mishum Baal Techala, Ninu, Amarava, Mimnei HaRamayim. And finally, the fourth concern is a Ramayim, because somebody passes by and says, did you take off peah? Sure I did. Of course I took off peah. I took it off earlier, right? I gave at the office. I was at the other minion. So because of that, so therefore there's a standard time when you got to give payoff, which is at the end. Conclusion, we do have to worry about chashad. We see that in the halachas of peah. And so now we see that by the Hanukkah as well. So if you have a house that actually borders on two streets, so you have to light menorah on the two streets. So you're above chashad.
What a sign, no?